Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Chamber Money Bank Full Year Results 2014 Investors Conference Call and Live Webcast. I'm Stephanie, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, and Mr. Antoine Boublil, CFO of Chamber Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're here to present our highlights of our 2014 results. And I would just run you quickly through the pages, and I'm here together with Antoine Boublil, our CFO, that most of you know. And then we are very happy to answer all your questions. So if we look at the highlights, first on the environment, interest rates at historically low levels, even turning negative, and that's basically a funding environment that we have never seen in all those years. Swiss economy around 1.7% up last year, and with all the events from the beginning of this year, I'm expected to have a moderately grow in 2015. Looking at our financials, we delivered a net income of 139.9 million Swiss francs, or 467 francs a share, up 5% compared to 2013. Financing receivables grew 2%. So we exceeding the Swiss GDP growth, mainly driven by strong cards and auto performance. Cost income ratio at 42.5 versus 43.9 in 2013 if you normalize it for the IPO related costs. So also there an improvement. And then the return on average equity of 17% on a strong capital base with a 20.6 Tier 1 capital ratio. Operationally, we achieved 87% standalone funding, so deposits grew 70% since year end 2013. On the IT transition, pretty much underway, we have 70% of our service agreements completed, and we are on schedule to be fully completed by the end of 2015, as agreed when we did the IPO with GE. Loss performance, strong, delinquencies 30 plus at 1.8%. The non-performing loan at 0.4% and the loss ratio as 1% as guided. And then I know one of the other things we said last year is digitization. I think it's on track as well. We made good progress there. We introduced a new e-service platform in October 2014, and we have quite a bit of traction there as well. On the capital allocation, the proposed cash dividend for 2014 is 3.10 francs. Per share, which is 9% up versus 2013, and to be paid out of reserves from capital contributions and free of Swiss withholding tax. And then the board authorized us to use up 100 million of excess capital to buy back shares. In case of a liquidity event by a major shareholder, we'll have a bit of a page afterwards on this one as well, so we'll talk a bit more detail there later. First, I would like to go to the next page to the product line update. I think we had on all three products a pretty strong year. The personal loan market slightly decreased. We gained market share, so and all, which I think is a good sign. Our assets were completely stable, where the market, like the last couple of years, decreased a little bit. I think good mix between agents, branches, and online mobile sites. We see the mobile going up as well. The rebranding has been extremely successful, so we haven't seen any impact on change of name from G Money Bank to Gemma Money Bank. So I think, you know, this is important for the personal loans. It has been a very very good rebranding effort. On the auto assets, also, you know, a good story. New and used car market declined in 2014 by about 2%. We gained market share a little bit more than, and the asset base went up as well with 1%. We clearly outperformed the market, so strong performance from the auto channel. Service levels were very good. We opened, as you know, two regional service centers the Italian-speaking part and the French-speaking part. We also see there the effect that we are more closer to the customer, and the sales support has been good as well. So if you look at the mix and the distribution, also pretty solid, 50% new used cars, very diversified on brands, and also very diversified between large and small dealers. Then credit cards, Strong organic growth, so another 10% credit cards growth. I mean, over 600,000 credit cards. No, still Migro, but it's a big driver of the success here. Also, Cumulus MasterCard rated as best credit card, so also the performance-wise, very good. And then the digitization, as I already spoke about. The new e-service platform that we launched in October drove a 24% increase in registrations there, so also the digitization on the cards channel is very much on track. So, good performance on all the product lines. Look at the next page, probably an interesting one, on regulatory changes in the Swiss franc and the business transition. First of all, the regulatory changes. So, FINMA has closed the case with no financial and business implications. So, the civil litigation between the agent and the bank has not been settled yet. That's an individual case that continues, but the FINMA investigation itself is completely closed. Then the state prosecutor, so still we haven't had any information that there was a formal investigation started on a potential breach of banking secrecy. It's still possible that it will happen. And you know, as I explained before, this is normally an investigation against individuals who work or used to work at the bank, not the bank itself. So for both civil litigation and the potential investigation, we do not expect major financial impact on our numbers. Then a few words on the domestic interchange fee. As you know, the domestic interchange fee is going to change. It's going to go down to 44 bips in a couple of steps. It doesn't apply to the international spend and to the micro and small transactions. So we don't think it's going to have a major or significant impact on our numbers. We have some mitigation measures. We can offset the lower interchange also by core growth and some mitigation action. So we don't see this as a major event for us. Probably more interesting is the proposed interest rate cap at 10%. If it's going to be in place, it will mainly affect the personal loan business because our credit card business is 9.9% and the auto business is even much lower. However, we are not sure what the outcome of this proposal will be. There's now a consultation period pending until the end of March 2015. Through several associations, we are challenging the proposal and we are providing feedback. The feedback is mainly that it is not a necessary intervention in a regulated and functioning market. Also feedback on the effect on consumption and on the cost base of the banks compared to 2003 when the actual rate cap was put in place. So, honestly, we do not know when the decision will be taken if a new rate cap will be implemented. We also do not know when a potential rate cap, if any, will be implemented, so what the date is, so what the timing is. Certainly, we really do not know, again, if there's been a decision to implement the rate cap, what will be the right percentage. So, you know, the 10% is, I don't think, set in stone. So there might be an agreement on a different percentage. So due to all this uncertainty, we are at the moment not in a position to quantify the potential medium-term impact on our business as a number. As soon as we have more information, we'll try to do this, also taking into account the potential mitigation actions that could be undertaken by us. The potential impact on our business will anyway not be expected in 2015. Now, finally, on the regulatory side, the board has decided that we will not participate in the U.S. tax program. Moving to stronger Swiss franc, Antoine is going to talk a little bit more about it, I think, later on. But look, we think it has a limited impact because we are based in Switzerland and all the revenues and costs are basically in Swiss francs for us. So, you know, I think on the card side, on the short term, it has a positive trend on the usage because a lot of people are going to shop abroad and use the card. So there's a short-term effect, but it's probably going to be positive. If you look at auto, the car prices will expect to be a bit lower. We have seen the same effect in 2011. What we have seen in 2011, that it had no impact on the ticket size because people were spending more money on options and accessories. So the ticket size has been the same in the past, and we don't see an impact this time as well on the ticket size. The residual value will be lower in the market. However, we have a 25% surplus on residual value. Anyway, the dealers are taking back the cars in our model. And in case the dealer cannot take back the car, for whatever reason, we will take back the cars. But then we have a 25% buffer on the residual value. So we don't see an issue there as well. On the funding side, the SMB is charging negative rates, so we also have to pay some penalties to the SMB on this one, or some rates. Overall cost of funding we expect to be in line, because we also think we can offset it by some repricing there. And Antoine will talk you a bit more through it in the funding base. On the growth side, let's see what is going to be the overall impact on the Swiss economy. We are midterm also depending on Swiss economy, so it can be have an impact on us, but then we'll have it will be in line with the impact it will have on the Swiss economy. Quickly on the business transition, as you know, we are renewing the majority of our IT landscape in 2-year period. We have 70% of the TSAs completed. So cost-wise, timing-wise, effort-wise, we're on track. It's a huge effort for the bank, but we're doing quite well. And we have another year to go, but we expect to be completely separated from GE by the end of this year. So with this, I'd like to hand it over to Antoine to talk you through the balance sheet.
Good morning, everyone. I'll start with our balance sheet as of December compared to the previous year-end. Our cash balance reached $622 million at year-end. It was driven by seasonal repayments, which as usually an offset in financing receivable, and also by liquidity that we typically hold to cover for upcoming potential capital market maturities. And we have a capital market maturities in the first quarter of 15. Our receivables grew 2% year-over-year, with a very solid contribution from cards, which was up 15%, but also auto was up 1%. You know, P-loan was broadly flat. And, I think the performance of auto and P-loan have to be put into the context of the overall market, which was down. So we clearly outperformed the market there. If you go to the liability side on funding, we've seen continuous growth in our deposits, which are overall up 17%. Institutional were up 14% and retail up 23%. And we're now funded more than 50% by deposits. On our bank loan, we fully renegotiated our historical Swiss bank facility at attractive terms. And we also started to reorganize or restructure our IPO syndicated loan, on which I'll provide a bit more detail on the next page. And finally, we fully repaid our GE revolving facilities, and we now only have the 500 million term loan remaining. If you look at equity, our equity was 842 million. Up 43 million. That was driven by the basically dividend that we've done, in the previous year in May, and also incorporating the 140 million of earnings. And then lastly, we had an OCI movement, which reduced equity by about 13 million. That was driven by an adjustment on our discount rates on the pension plan that we moved from 2% to 1% to reflect the current market interest rate environment. I move to the next page on funding. So we've now reached 87% of standalone funding, and our cost of fund was significantly reduced versus the previous year and was 1.1% at the end of the year. We've seen solid growth on retail deposits. We're up 23% year over year. And also, since the beginning of 15, we continue to see some strong momentum on retail. And we recently, this week decided to adjust our pricing on retail down 50 basis points to reflect the interest rate evolution in the market. We do see retail deposit as an important source of funding for us in the future. On institutional, we increase our number of counterparty, throughout the year, and we're focused on extending the maturity of the book. So if you look at both retail and institutional overall, our deposit funding rate was about 82 basis points, which was stable compared to the previous year. As we looked into 2015, again, our ambition is to continue to increase retail while further optimizing the overall cost of deposits. On bank loans, we've started to make a few changes there. So first, we've renegotiated our 200 million Swiss bank facility, which resulted in splitting it into 150 million three-year term loan and 100 million revolving facility, of which we drew 50 million at the end of the year. And overall, on that facility, we've been able to reduce the funding cost from 1.59% down to 1%. So good repricing, potential here. Secondly, we started to prepay our IPO syndicated loan, which was originally 450 million, and we prepaid 150 million of that in the second half of 14. And at the same time, we entered into a $150 million bilateral credit line with International Bank, on which we drew $50 million, you know, in the second half of last year at an attractive rate, which was about 87 basis points. Our objective for 2015 is to fully prepay the IPO syndicated loan, which is the $300 million remaining, and you know, that would be about 1 year ahead of the term of that loan. On capital markets, you know, you've seen we've done a couple of senior unsecured transactions, you know, in the second part of last year, you know, both in the 5 year and 8 year duration. And then if we look at ABS, we have our first ABS transaction that's maturing in March of this year. And, you know, we will be looking at launching a new transaction subject to market condition. Finally, you see, you know, the G line down to $500 million in terms of the term loan and the revolving line being fully kept as an undrawn credit line. Now, talking a little bit about, you know, the SNB and the environment there, I think, you know, as every bank in Switzerland, you know, SNB will charge cash, you know, to our cash that is deposited at the SNB. I mean, for this year, we see in something in the context of about a couple of million of charges at the 75 basis point negative rate that they've indicated. But we also, at the same time, have a significant amount of debt that is maturing in 15. And as we reprice that debt, we think this is going to more than offset the SNB charges that I just described. So, and at the same time, we will continue to pursue our strategy to extend duration of our funding. Moving on to the P&L, our net interest income was up 7%, you know, driven by better cost of funding, and we reached a solid 7.4% net interest margin, you know, ratio. Our commission and fee income was up 9%, driven by insurance, which was up 8%. We've seen some stabilization, you know, in our insurance book, and also, you know, slightly higher profit share into 14. Cards was up 21%, you know, remarkable growth continuing there. And other was down $3 million as a consequence of a revolving loan product that we have continued to run off. So overall, our revenue were up 9%. Our provision for losses were $41 million, which corresponds to a loss rate of about 1%, which was in line with the guidance we've provided. This is driven by lower recoveries following the debt sale we've done in June 2013. And, you know, that's also reflected in the 13 number you see here, which was, you know, much lower than what we've seen in 14. Our operating expense were down 10% year over year. That was driven by a non-repeat of about $23 million of IPO-related costs. Operationally, we are up 4%, with CNB, which was lower, you know, mostly driven by pension and productivity. But that was partially offset by IT transition costs, public company costs, and you know, the charge we incurred about $1.5 million associated with the examination FINMA cost. So overall, our net income was 139.9, which is up 5% compared to the previous year. From a seasonality perspective, the net income for the second half was about 75.2 million, which exceeded the 64.7 million we had in the first half. And as we guided previously, the second half earnings is typically higher than the first half. Our return on equity reached 17%, which is above our medium-term target of 15%, and our return on asset was 3%. On the next page, I will comment on the interest income by product. On the right side, you can see the split. So personal loan was down 2% at 214 million. It was driven by slightly lower asset base on average, which was in the same context about 2% down. The yield, however, remained stable at 11.3%. Auto was down 5% at 88.2 million with a yield of 5.3%, which was down 20 basis points compared to the previous year. You know, obviously driven by the low rate environment. As far as, you know, what we're seeing in the market, you know, we clearly continue to see some sign of stabilization in the second half of last year, and we've, you know, managed our, you know, price volume trade-off effectively, you know, to keep that yield at this 5.3% level. On credit card, we were up 23% at 39.7 million. That was driven by the growth of our portfolio. And the yield increased 40 basis points, you know, driven by a higher revolve rate and reached 7.5%. On the next page, our provision for losses were 41 million, you know, which is a loss rate of 1%. If we look at it on an adjusted basis, the loss rate was 60 basis points, which was slightly better than last year. Obviously, We continue to see in 2014 the impact of lower recoveries coming from the last year debt sale, which we estimated to be about 16.5 million. As guided previously, the debt sale, you know, will continue to impact our recovery flow, and that's where we have a guidance of 1% of loss rate in 2015. On delinquency, we continue to see strong performance driven by collection effectiveness. Our 30-plus were stable at 1.8%, which was flat year over year, and that was pretty consistent by product line. And our non-performing loan ratio was also flat at 0.4%. Moving on to operating expense, our operating expense, if we look at our cost-income ratio, we're at 42.5%, which was down versus 43.9% on an adjusted basis. And that was close to the guidance we've given around 43%, especially if you adjust for the 1.5 million reserve release related to FINMA. You know, if you look at it by line, I mean, CNB was lower, was 4% lower, mostly driven by pension, which was a 3 million, you know, improvement in terms of pension costs in 2014, and continuous improvement in the productivity of our organization. Now, on pension, you know, considering the move we've seen in interest rates, and as I described before, we've lowered our discount rate from 2% to 1%. We estimate that we're going to have, you know, an additional pension cost of about 1.8 million for 2015. So the trend we've seen in 2014, which was a reversal of pension cost, now is going to go the other direction, about 1.8 million for the full year in 2015, driven by us lowering, you know, the discount rate to 1%, and that's in line with what we see in the market in terms of rates. TSA costs were roughly 6 million for 2014, which was as guided. Professional services costs were up 2 million, driven by IT project implementation cost for about 3.4 million, 1.5 million FINMA examination cost, and an ongoing cost in relation of, you know, being now a public company. That was offset partially by non-repeat of IPO related costs, which were about 4.5 million in 2013. Marketing was 7 million, which was a million higher than the previous year if you exclude the 7.6 million rebranding costs we had. And, you know, we see marketing stabilizing around the 7 million mark, you know, going forward. On postage and stationery, you know, excluding the rebranding activities that we had in 2013, we were, you know, up 1 million, which is in line with sort of the growth we see in the car portfolio. But, you know, we'll keep working on that line in terms of all different digitization programs to try to get more productivity. Finally, on depreciation, we ended the year at 2.5 million. You know, a lot of the IT project transition that we've been working on, you know, will enter into service at the end of last year. And then the depreciation impact is going to be felt, you know, more in 2015. So, you know, it's going to be higher than the 2.5 million that you see there. On other, we are down compared to 2013, as we had a 7.3 million one-off share issuance cost, which was done in the context of, you know, the secondary placement that, you know, G Capital did for shares. You know, offsetting that, or basically what we've seen on that line is you know, more costs coming from, again, our IT and business transition costs, which were overall up 4.2 million. So overall on operating expense, we'll continue to review our cost structure and assess opportunities for optimization as we complete our business transition. Moving on to capital on the next page. So we ended the year with 760 million of Tier 1 capital, which corresponds to a Tier 1 ratio of 20.6% and represent 96 million of excess capital above our defined target of 18%. Now, in terms of allocation of capital, the board has concluded on the capital allocation and has given an authorization to use up to 100 million Swiss franc of excess capital to buy back shares in the context of a liquidity event by a major shareholder. The idea is to dedicate our reserve from capital contribution, which stands at 370 million at year end, for ordinary dividend distribution. You know, post the distribution of our proposed 3.10 franc a share, or 93 million, those reserves will stand at 277 million, you know, going forward. Our proposed dividend will be free of Swiss withholding tax and is present a payout ratio of 6% within our 60-70% guidance. And finally, we'll still continue to evaluate potential opportunistic bolt-on acquisition in the future. Now, with that, I'll turn it back to Robert to conclude.
Yeah, thank you, Antoine. This is the last page to conclude. if you look at the medium-term target that we set at the IPO, and you look at the performance in 2014, I think we did a the company did a good job here. So the net consumer loan growth to be moderate and in line with GDP growth. I think we beat it this one, 2% versus the 1.7. ROE was at 17%, the Tier 1 capital at 20.6, and the payout ratio at 66%. If you look for 2015. I think business transition is an important point for us, but I think we are on a good way there. Also, the funding strategy, Antoine spoke about it, we continue to optimize it. Then we will closely follow the potential regulatory changes in the business, and I'll be very cautious on costs, as we always are, and we drive simplification in our organizations. The guidance for 2015 is a 450 to 470 EPS earnings per share, and then the provision for losses remains guided at 1% losses. So that was a 25 minutes presentation from our side. We really would like to open it up now for Q&A.
The first question is from Mate Nims from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks very much for the detailed presentation. I would have three questions, if I may. Firstly, on yields in the auto business and in general the strategy, if you could give us some color and really try to help us understand how you can defend the average yield of 5.3% there, what levers do you have there, how can you really adjust volume and pricing to defend this current yield in the environment we are in at the moment. Then secondly, on costs, more specifically on professional services costs, is it right to assume that the 3.4 million business transition costs will likely to stay also in 2015 and trend down afterwards? And also in general, how you think about the costing ratios in 2015, 2016, how much lower can you go, if I may? And thirdly, on risk costs and provision for losses, the guidance for 2015 is 1%. When would you expect to see actually lower risk costs going forward, so to say, to see a trend down also on that line? Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a lot of questions. We're going to answer them all. I'll do the first one on auto, and then Antoine is going to talk about the cost one. And Volker Globe, who's our risk officer, is also on the call, and he will talk about the losses. On auto, look, I know we have been for 30, 40, 50 years in auto. It's always the same thing. How do you balance volume versus yield? I think the team has done a good job last year. We are basically the alternative for the captives, so we have very balanced new used cars, volumes and assets there. I think we just continue what we do. The competition has been a bit less aggressive last year on pricing. I haven't. We'll see what happens this year in Geneva, but I haven't seen so far very aggressive pricing either. Some of the captives always will be priced aggressively. I think it's look, the yield stabilized in the second half of last year. I think we'll maintain the stabilization. I think we are on could go on a little bit, but will not go below 5%. And I think, you know, what we've done last year on the volume side, we were significantly up on volume in a declining market, which is just service. So we are just number one in service. We are number one in dealer relationships. And I think if we continue that one, we will have the same balance on between yield and volumes. Antoine, you want to talk about the cost?
Yeah, I mean, on the cost side, if you look at the business transition, in particular from an IT perspective, what you're going to see over time is a shift in geography within our operating expense. So, I mean, take 14, a lot of the costs came in either in professional services or in the other line. A lot of those costs were obviously consulting costs, you know, as we have consultants helping us with that transition and some other costs. As we continue into 15 and beyond, what we'll see is a shift from the geography from those lines into the depreciation line. You know, as we're capitalizing some of the software and as they enter into service, then, you know, you'll see an increase in the depreciation line. So So you'll see a mix in geography or a shift in geography over in the next couple of years. As far as sort of the overall cost, I mean, you know, we don't specifically guide on the cost-income ratio, you know, for 15 and certainly not yet for 16. But for 15, I mean, you can probably assume something in the same line that you've seen in 2014. You know, as the year progresses, you know, we'll probably give you an update, you know, and last year what we've done is we gave an update at the half year mark on how we were looking at things, and probably we'll look at that. But, you know, as every year, we're focused on how we can drive productivity and, you know, in the context of the growth we have. So we'll give you more, you know, as the year progresses here.
And a few comments on the loss line. I mean, we have been seeing a loss rate in 2014 of 1%, which is impacted by the debt sale that we executed in 2013. And as Antoine mentioned earlier on, the impact is estimated to be about 16.5 million in 2014. This impact obviously will decrease over time, but there will still be an impact in 2015, which is the reason why we also for 2015 are guiding on the loss rate, and we estimate it to be around 1%. I mean, I think we have a history of being cautious and thoughtful when it comes to guidance. And obviously, to give a kind of long-term commitment on how the loss rate will develop is very hard to say, because there are kind of underlying dynamics in the portfolio mixed with kind of the economic outlook. But I think we can feel comfortable with the guidance that we've been giving for 2015 on 1%. And kind of longer term it will be difficult, and we will come back with updates on that.
Thank you.
Next question from Flora Benacon, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. My first question is on your EPS guidance. I'm a bit surprised to see that you guide for EPS to be basically flat at best year on year, because I understand this is on the same share count, so that would be before any share buyback. So given the performance on cost was quite good, you get on provisions being flat at 1% of loans. So should we expect headwinds on the revenues? Could you explain basically why such guidance? Because I read from your slide that interchange fees being lowered will have a non-significant impact. You also said on the call that the Consumer Credit Act revision should not impact 2015 numbers. So I'm just trying to understand why you're being a little bit bearish here, it seems to me, on revenues 2015. The second question is on the interchange fees being lowered. I read from your slide pack that you mentioned mitigating measures. So if you could maybe explain what kind of mitigating measures you have. And also, if you could also give us some more details around the proportion of interchange fees that are coming from Migros in store and from international transactions, given you said they will not be impacted. Thank you.
So, Anton, you want to...
Yeah, I think start on the guidance. You know, I think to give you some context on how we think about guidance, you know, when we give guidance, it's basically a guidance that we feel very comfortable, you know, hitting. And that's what we came up in the previous year. And this year we've been consistent in giving the same type of range, obviously a range which is higher, you know, than what we had the previous year. Now, if you look at, obviously, there's a lot of things happening in the market, you know, so that's the guidance that's coming from our side at this point of time. Obviously, as the year progresses, you know, we'll see how much we can give. But you're right, it's also based on the same share count that we have today. So I think there's not much more I can say. I think it's just the guidance that we have out there, and we feel very comfortable at this stage hitting. Obviously, we'll see how the year develops. If you look at interchange, again, you know, we see our card fee up 21%, you know, this year, which is, you know, up compared to what you see on the receivable side. I mean, we still see, you know, double-digit growth, you know, clearly in cards going forward. So I think the momentum is continuing there, and I think interchange, we don't see a material impact here coming from that. As far as the mix, you know, between the different spends, you know, I think, you know, it's evolving, obviously. You know, you have, you know, what we see probably with the FX movement from the SNB is probably we'll probably see a little bit more higher share coming from international spend into 15 than what we've seen in the past, but we feel comfortable with that. Now, I mean, there are some other elements. If you look at, for instance, SMB is charging negative rates on deposits, you know, at 75 basis points. You know, is that going to be 75 basis points for the entire year? I mean, still to be seen. So, I mean, there's multiple components that, you know, are, you know, evolving through 15, and then hence why we come up with that guidance. And as the year progresses, you know, we'll probably, you know, see what kind of update we can provide you.
Yeah, I mean, we never disclose the split between in-store and out-store for Migros, so we're not going to do it here as well. But I think the growth we have and the mitigation we have there, look, I think we can offset the lower interchange, which is going to be in steps anyway.
Okay, thank you. And so the mitigating factors, it's mostly basically that you expect your clients to use their cards more internationally, right?
Yeah, I mean, internationally, look, we also have to work together with Migros how we work on those interchange, and you know, we have a very strong partnership there. So we think we it's a discussion with Migros as well how we can offset a piece of this interchange.
Okay, thank you.
Next question from Andreas Frick, Bank am Bellevue. Please go ahead. Mr. Frick, your line is open. You can ask your question.
Oh, sorry. good morning. Thank you very much. Basically, I have only two questions. So the first is, Antoine, you mentioned the 13 million negative impact on shareholders' equity via the other comprehensive income. I think it was the technical interest rate, so the discount rate in the pension fund for your own employees, but I'm not sure. Maybe you can confirm that or explain me again. And the second question is on the GE Capital funding, the 500 million. You mentioned that you aim to kind of get fully rid of this 500 million a year earlier than initially expected. And I have in my model 2018, so at the end of 2017. But I think you said that you will start to repay already in 2015. Can you please explain me again how this should work?
Yeah, so I think on the first question on equity, so yes, on there's a movement in other comprehensive income that is coming from the reduction on the discount rate on our pension plan, which, you know, obviously that's something we update once a year with our actuarial, you know, experts and consultants. And so the rate was lowered from 2% to 1%, mm-hmm. and 1% reflect what you know, obviously the interest rate environment is in Switzerland. So that has an impact on the balance sheet and on the equity, where your other comprehensive losses increase, and that's basically reducing your equity. That's the only impact that you see from the financial in 14 on the balance sheet. Now, over time, as that other comprehensive loss gets amortized, then you see the impact on the P&L, and that's what we will see for in the context of about 1.7 million in CNB line in 15 as an expense. But mm-hmm. you know, remember, this fluctuated in the other direction the year before. So again, you know, every year we review all the assumptions we are on our pension plan, and we make the necessary adjustment on our financials. But that was the driver of the 13 million reduction in equity. Mm-hmm. On the funding side, I think what we've said, or what I just said, is our goal is to fully prepay the IPO syndicated loan in 2015, not the GE Capital loan.
Okay.
So basically, we have 300 million outstanding on that loan, and our goal is to fully prepay it before the end of the year, which will be a year ahead of its term, because it was a three-year term. Now, the GE Capital funding is there until 2018. Obviously, we will look at, you know, once we've prepaid the syndicated loan, we'll look at over time how we basically prepay this as we grow our other sources of funding. But in terms of cost, they are broadly similar. I mean, if you look at the IPO syndicated loan, is about 1.46% all-in rate. Mm-hmm. And then if you take the GE Capital loan, and if you exclude the cost of the line, which is embedded into your 1.85, if you exclude that, they are broadly the same cost, actually, you know, very much the same cost. So I think we'll go in that sequence, you know, first the 300 million, and then, you know, as we continue to evolve our funding, you know, we'll look at maybe further reducing GE Capital.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Next question from Tarik El Mayad, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions from my side, please. First, on your growth perspective, can you please just describe us what's the operational environment at the moment in terms of consolidation in credit card business and so on? If you see any opportunities, are you working on something, or is it completely quiet and nothing on in the pipelines? Second question is on this 10% cap on interest rate. I understand it will impact personal loans, but if you take Migros, it's 9.9. But I mean, interest rate environment, yes, will stay low for a while, but that limits your upside, I guess, in terms of squeeze your margins in the case interest rates will go up. And also, if you want to source a new franchise, you are limited in terms of how much interest you can charge. Is my thinking right, or I'm missing something there? Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Okay. hi, Tarek. I will try to answer your questions. First of all, on the growth side, look, it's always opportunistic. No? I think the market is not growing, and we all know that now. The auto market is not growing. Also, the personal loan market is not growing. The credit card market is growing. Hopefully, they will have some portfolios available somewhere, because we're really interested in growing our business in the consumer finance market. Is there something hot cooking somewhere? Look, you know, it's always opportunistic. So I cannot really answer that question, though. But I mean, something might pop up, something might not be popping up. We are really interested to look at it. The core growth is going to be, we hopefully, in line with Swiss GDP, and that will be always guiding for. And then on the cap. Look, it's a complicated question, because the cap, it's very difficult to look at the impact here, because the question is there going to be a cap first, you know, and that's now a consultation period. There's a lot of activity going on with argumentation that the cap is not appropriate, or, you know, at least the 10% is not appropriate. Then the second question is going to be, you know, if there's going to be a cap, what's going to be the level there? It's going to be 10, it's going to be something different. Then the third question is going to be, when is it going to be implemented, if there's going to be a cap? And the fourth question is going to be for new business. And so it's very difficult, really, to say there what the impact is going to be, so we're not guiding on any number there. I think on the micro side, the 9.9 is fine. That's contractually, for the next couple of years, fixed anyway.
And I think your question on raising interest rates is obviously, I mean, not something we'd see in the short term, you know. But at the same time, we're preparing ourselves with going long on the curve from a funding perspective and going fixed rates. And so, you know, that's our strategy, hasn't changed. And you know, in terms of squeeze of margin, I think, you know, right now we still think that there is some opportunity to get better margin in the short term, at least on the funding side.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
The next question is from Jan Schrips, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. What is the current penetration at the micro credit card with your partner? What is your growth expectation here? And I don't know, maybe I missed it before. What is your outlook on further partners? Thank you.
Yeah. Look, we're not guiding on growth for this year, what we expect. We are around 20% on the portfolio on Migros, so there is room for growth. You've seen the growth last year, and if you look at the growth last three, four years, you probably can make a calculation how we think we can grow the portfolio further. So, I mean, 20% is still a lot of room to grow. We would love to sign on new partners. I think that's also a target for us. At the same time, we have to be realistic. We're in the middle of a big IT transformation where we decouple our systems from GE. So this year, I don't think we're going to have any new partner on the books, because we just cannot have it system-wise and IT-wise. We first have to do the split with GE, but it doesn't hinder us to look actively for partners and try to sign on a partner. But I don't think you should expect anybody this year on the books.
Okay, thank you.
Next question from Thomas Krzelak, MainFirst. Please go ahead. Mr. Krzelak, your line is open. You can ask your question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my questions. Good morning, everyone. I have two broader questions. The first one regarding your funding and billboard campaign you launched for retail deposits. Could you please elaborate a bit on this? This offering seems quite expensive in the current, I would say, very, very favorable funding environment for Cembra. Is it because you just, as mentioned by CFO, you want to go high up the curve on the funding? And the second question regarding S&B decisions and the impact of ethics on your credit card business in terms of cross-border shopping, forex-denominated online shopping. Do you see a tailwind there? Have you seen any tailwind there? And just to catch on this, also regarding auto leasing, what would be an impact of changing FX rates and the discounts introduced by direct auto importers? So something we would see probably higher demand, but lower prices. Where would you see an overall impact? Thank you.
Okay, so I mean, if I start with retail, if you look at how we have approached retail, I mean, we've been very consistent with our pricing on retail throughout last year, and you know, up to basically, you know, the first couple of months of this year. As I indicated on the call, we just announced this week that we're coming down in terms of the price by 50 basis points across the curve. You know, and we just basically reflect what we see in the market. But if you look at deposit, I mean, the way we look at deposit is we want to grow retail because we think it's an important source. But we look at cost of funding coming from deposits, you know, together with institutional. So as we balance the two book, and the two book today don't have the same size, obviously your institutional is much bigger. I think we're working the equation there. I mean, retail gives us more duration because we can go all the way to 8 years there, and it's more granular. And on the institutional, obviously we're going to go a little bit longer, but it's definitely much cheaper than retail. So we look at both in terms of growing the volume on retail, but we look at the overall cost, you know, together with institutional, and that's how we make it work from a cost perspective on our side. I think on the credit card question, I mean, it's a bit early. Obviously, the cap was removed in the 15th of January. So, but we do see, you know, the first indication we see is, yes, we do see some more volume of spend international. But, you know, again, we'll have to see, you know, over the next few months, how does the FX rate stabilize and what's the trend there. But the early indication is, yes, we see more international spend.
I mean, on the last question on the auto leasing side, I don't think there will be a big impact here. What we've seen in the past is that prices will go down. People spend more on options and accessories, so the ticket size is going to be the same. Demand is also probably going to be the same because, you know, I don't think it's going to change a lot. So we don't see any impact so far on the auto leasing book, nor negative nor positive.
Thanks a lot.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for listening in, and for everybody, a very good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.